Then also, then as you get a little bit more into church, they'll use church to define, it defines what brand of church you're in. A denomination is what religious folks will call it. And so you, if you're not careful, that's, your mind picks up the same way. Leland, tell him, come on in. And you'll hear somebody say, hey, what kind of church? Where do you go to church? What kind of church you go to? It's like church brand. And then, of course, the one, my favorite of all, is we had church at the lake this week, which meant we sang a song, we prayed a prayer, we read a scripture, had communion maybe, but never gave contribution, right? Now, all of those things are fine. That's no problem. There's no sin involved in it. It's just the way we use language, our language. We've got a language that says we love our wives, we love peanut butter. Use the same word. But here's the problem with that. If you're a church-going person, if you're not careful, you take on that thinking that this is church. Uh-uh. If you're not careful, you'll think not only this place is church, but this, what we're doing right now, is church. Illustration, the easiest illustration, since we've got visitors and our way we're, it's taking us a while to get settled in, somebody says it to us regularly, man, you guys don't start on time. And my answer always is, the moment somebody shows up here, we start. Because that fellowship that we do, that loving, that laughing, that hugging, that abusing, encouraging each other that we do, that's church, that's fellowship. That is what church is about. So we are church. And now, what does God have to say about us? I don't know what, and it does not matter what anybody says about us. I said that the other day, and somebody said, well, do you think people are saying bad things about us? I guarantee you they're saying things, bad things about us. But no, I'm just playing. I don't know what, does it matter what anybody else says? No, it doesn't even matter. And let me ask you this, because I asked it a couple of weeks ago and we got the wrong answer. Does it matter what we think about who we are? No, it does not. God thinks about us is all that matters. Now, do we need to agree with God? One more time, does it matter if we agree with God? Yes, that matters. But if I think, well, I think this is a selfish old church, this is a weird old church, this is a bunch of... Go ahead. I don't know why you'd be here unless, I mean, the donut's that good? The chairs are, but I don't know about the donut. Listen, church is how God sees us. And how does He see us? Chapter 1. Now, there's a bunch of these, folks. There's a bunch of these, and I only picked 5 for us so we'd remember them. But I want us to remember. I want us to hold on to them. So there are 5 things that we learned about being the church that God, being His church, being a people that are blessed with every spiritual blessing. And that word blessed means good stuff. He wants to give us good stuff in Jesus. What were 5 of the good stuffs He gave us in Jesus? Number 1, He chose us. When other people wouldn't, He did. When nobody else would, He did. He chose us. But He didn't just choose us, He adopted us. He went the full route. We became His heirs. We became heirs of the kingdom. All right. 3. Redeemed. He redeemed us, which means He bought us. I mean, He made us so we belonged to Him, and then we ran away from home, and He had to buy us back, redemption by the blood of Jesus. And so we're His a second time. And then 4, which is one of my favorites, but I'm not going to go through it again. Because we're going to hit it next week. If God gives us next week, we're going to hit it hard in chapter 3. He included us in His secret. He included us in His mystery. He let us know something that He didn't let Isaiah know. He let us know something that He didn't let Moses know. He let us know something that He didn't let anybody until Jesus revealed it through the Spirit to apostles and prophets. He didn't let anybody know, but He included us. And then what did He do last? Sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And the easiest, simplest way to remember what sealed means is? Marked, authenticated, verified, certified. We're the real deal. Well, why don't you have a real church? I've had, why don't y'all get you a real church? What do you mean by that? If you've ever been to church here, what do you know about this church? It's about as real as you can get, sometimes more real than you want it to be, right? But what are they talking about?
Building.
Some of our folks trying to talk to their family will said, well, that's not a real church. What do they mean? Because we don't have a sign. We don't have a denomination brand, right? So we don't have the right kind of building. We don't have the right kind of sign. And so, and then what we do in here is way different than what some other folks do. So we don't have a real church, they'll say. What matters most? What God says. And what did God say? I chose you, adopted you, redeemed you, included you, and I verified, certified that you are the real deal. And I'm going to do everything I can to get you to heaven. All right. Now in chapter 2. Notice I skipped a big section of review just to be nice. Chapter 2, what did he do? What did he do to make us his? We were dead in sin, but what did he do? And I want from the text, don't make it up. I don't want generic answers. Don't want Sunday schools. I want it right from God's Word. What did he do for me? In spite of the fact that I had died in my sin, in spite of the fact that I had lived according to the cravings of my sinful nature, what did he do for me? By grace he saved me. But before that, I'm sorry? He is rich in his mercy toward me. He loved me so much that he wanted to save me by grace. He wanted to make me alive. And so let's start there. He made me alive, and after he made me alive, he raised me up and put me where? At the right hand of God with Jesus. So I am sitting now at this moment. We are in the presence of God at the right hand of God with Jesus. So do I have to lift my hands and lift my head to pray? No, I mean, is it okay to do that? Will God hear it? You betcha. But if you wanted to use an illustration of it, and which is what lifting your head and lifting your hands is all about anyway, if you really wanted another illustration for it, if you wanted to whisper something to God, what would you do? Look over your left shoulder. You're sitting at the right hand of God. You don't have to holler at him. He's right here. And why does he have us there? And I'll let you answer from your own heart. Why does he have us there? It's his position of power. That's where he protects me. What else?
Keep his eye on.
For some of you, it's keeping an eye on you. That's right. Yeah. What else?
He puts me there so he can show his
covenant. Ah, there you go. Look what the text says. Look what he says in 7, so that he can show his incomparable, the riches and loving kindness that he's going to show us toward us. He wants to have us in places where he can give us favors. All right? Now, where do we go from there? Look in verse 11. And what we're going to do is we're going to read this into the record so the folks listening in other places can hear. And then we're going to hopefully learn from it. Therefore, since we are His workmanship, since we were created in Christ Jesus for good works, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcision by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember at that time you were separate from Christ. I want you to note these, okay? I apologize for stopping the reading, but I want you to note these. You're separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Stop. Just stop. Did you see what he told us to remember? I didn't say this. Sometimes people get irritated at me because I talk sometimes and remember what I did and what the mess I made of things. What does he say here? Remember. Why is it important for us to remember? Though we thank God that he doesn't remember, why is it important for us to remember? So we don't go back there, and so we'll be grateful that we're not there anymore, right? So let's look at what we're going to remember. He talks about Gentiles, and those of us who've been Bible readers, churchgoers forever, we know all about those Jews and Gentiles things. That's not my interest right now. I want us to look at the five things that we were, at that time. And it fits to all of us. We were at that time what? What were the five things?
Separate.
We were separate. All right, there's that idea again. Here with God, we started off with Him, and then I messed up, I sinned, and I became, look at the phrase, I became separate from Christ. That means I had no Christ, no relationship with Jesus. All right, keep going.
Excluded.
I was excluded from citizenship. So I had no home. I was a foreigner. I was a stranger. Keep going. Now what's the next one? Foreigners of the covenant of the promise. In other words, I wasn't a part of God's people. I wasn't a part of the covenant, so I had no family. I'm writing that because I can't write covenant and foreigners. I can't spell those, but I got these. All right? So because of who I was, because of what I did, one more time, because of who I was by birth and because of what I did by practice, I became a person that did not have Christ. I had no home with God. I had no family with God's people, and I had no hope. Is there another one? Without God. No God and no hope. Was that us? So remember it. That's what he said to do. Remember it. We were without Christ, without home, without family, without hope, without God. Now, just take one of those for a just take one, because we don't have time to layer each one. But what does it mean to live life without Jesus? What are you without if you don't have Jesus? What are you without? What are you missing? What have you got if you don't have Jesus? And if you say nothing, it's just going to extend the discussion. All that's left of the world and whatever they say. What do you have if you don't have Jesus?
I mean, mine's hope. Without Jesus, there's no hope for me.
Yep, and Michael's right. I mean, he says we have no hope if you don't have Jesus. Because unless you have Jesus, you don't have the... Well, I just almost gave it to you. Nope, I'm going to make you earn this one. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have... life. Now, Leland's at the very edge of it. How do I know if I don't have Jesus, I don't have life? I don't have the promise. I don't have the covenant.
Wages of sin is death.
I want to say love. Love. All that's good stuff. Did Jesus ever say, I am the life? Did Jesus ever say it? Yeah, he said some words before it, and Aaron was helping us there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If I don't have Jesus, what do I not have? I don't have the way, I don't have the truth, and I don't have the life. Now, can I have a pretty good job? Can I have a pretty good job? Can I have a pretty good family? Can I have a nice car and some retirement? Yeah, and I have a storage building full of stuff. I can have all that stuff. But without Jesus, I don't have His way. I don't have His truth. I don't have His life. Without Jesus, I don't have salvation, because in Him there is no other name by which salvation comes. Keep going. And you're being way too tough on yourselves. If I don't have Jesus, I don't have bread for my life. I don't have water, the living water. If I don't have Jesus, I don't have the resurrection, because He is the resurrection and the life. And I can't spell resurrection. That's what that means. If I don't have Jesus, what have I got? I don't have the good stuff. I don't have the adoption. I don't have the being chosen. I don't have the Holy Spirit. I don't have the inclusion. I don't have any of that. That's us, folks. Let me say it right. That was us. By birth, because we're Gentiles, and by behavior. By birth and behavior, this fits who we are. Now, if we stop right there, what's it sound like? I'll let you finish. What's it sound like? If you have no home, no family, no hope, no God, what have you got? You're dead. You got nothing. You give up. And folks, how many friends of ours have given up because they recognize they don't have any of this? And their position about Jesus is against Jesus because since they don't have any hope, there's no, well, he can't give me this. So they just mark him off the list. So what do we do now? Look at the next phrase. Now let's read the next. That's who we were by birth and behavior. But, ooh, I like that word. But now in Christ Jesus, those who were once were what? Far off or what? Say it again. They were brought near. There's the idea. Through Jesus, those who were far off have been brought near. Those who were far off have been brought near. Keep reading. Been brought near through the blood of Christ. Now keep reading. For he himself, write the words up here, mark them. For he is our peace, who made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and its regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. There are three hostilities. There are three hostilities, I think, mentioned in the text. There's three troubles. Jesus took care of three different troubles. All right? What's the first one? What's the most obvious one? What's the most obvious trouble that we had? Looking at this picture right here. Sin, which caused us to be separated from God. That is what separated us from God. It was not our birth that separated us from God. It was our behavior that separated us from God. One of the hostilities, one of the things that causes us to be at odds with God, one of the things that causes us to be at odds with each other is our sin, our behavior. What else becomes a hostility toward God? In the text, you'll see it. The law. Now, real quick, those of us who've been going to Bible class all our lives know this, so I'm going to let you explain it to the folks that are just getting started. How did the Ten Commandment law cause a problem between me and God? It showed me I didn't measure up. Keep going. It focused on my sin, all right, but it also focused on something else. All right, it showed us that our sin keeps us separated from Him because we don't have any sacrifice that can satisfy Him. Keep going. Why did the law cause trouble? Nobody could keep it perfectly. So every time you broke it, what did it do? It convicted you. It condemned you. Keep going.
It was a system that, you know, you offer the sacrifice for this atonement, but it was only for that specific atonement. It wasn't once all for all.
All right, so that sacrifice had to be made. All that's good stuff. Now, you're missing, and you're good students. That's why you're missing it. I want you to get real simple on me. Okay. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about my race. I'm talking about I hate it when I do that. I'm talking about I couldn't have brought the sacrifice. Had I been living back then, I don't care how many lambs I had. I don't care how many goats I had. I show up and say, I want to do a sacrifice. What are they going to do? Get out. You're not us. So one of the things that caused hostility from the law was not just my sin, that my behavior was bad. It was my race. My race caused that trouble too. Because I was not allowed, real quick, And then real quick. Tabernacle. Here's the holy place, most holy place. Here's the holy place when they came in. You remember? And here's that table of showbread, and here's those lights, and here's that altar of incense. It was right there. Who got to come into the big tent? You didn't. Because you weren't circumcised. You weren't of that Jewish race. You weren't of this family. You weren't of that covenant. You weren't even allowed in the tent, much less to come in here. Right? I mean, you had to be a certain tribe. You had to be a certain race to get in here. You had to be a certain tribe to get in here. And guess what you had to do to get in here? You had to be a certain man out of a certain tribe, out of a certain family in a certain tribe to get in here. All of this from the law was saying what to folks like you and me? Stay out. You're not included. You're excluded. I don't like you. Now hang on a second. We'll get there. We got to do this. This is where we're really going to spend some time on tying or not. But is there, let's touch base on it right now so we understand. Has there anything in our culture made us feel excluded? Now think it through. In your life experience, has there ever been anything happened to you or you've been treated in any way that's given you the impression that you are excluded, that you're not included like everybody else is included? What would it be? Sometimes it's a type of education. Oh, you don't have a college degree? And then those folks that get college degree, oh, you don't have a master's? And then you get a master's, you know what they say? Oh, you don't have your doctorate?
And then you get the doctorate and say, oh, you're overqualified.
So education has excluded. Give me another one. From our own experience, Catherine.
My past.
If you've struggled with an addiction, and in that addiction, if you've done things that were publicly noticed, people will exclude you because of that. What excluded you?
Being naive and like good and healthy, like people that I wouldn't know a song or I wouldn't know, and they would call me a prude. You're such a prude.
Flip it over. Not only have some of us been so bad that we were excluded, some of us were. Well, one of us was so good that we got excluded. I was trying to think of who else to include in that, but sorry, y'all. What else excluded us?
Money.
How much money you have or how much money you don't have, how much debt you have, how much money, you know, that kind of thing. Brad?
Athletic ability.
What else?
Your race, your gender.
Your church. Where you go to church.
What you look like.
Sometimes you do it to yourself because I just don't feel like I fit in with anybody. Anybody else? We haven't talked about tattoos. We haven't talked about teeth. We haven't talked about hygiene. We haven't talked about homes. We haven't talked about cars. Those kind of things. But all of those things have the power to do what in our culture? Exclude us. All right. Now we'll get there. But I want you to tell me what did Jesus do with the sin issue?
He took care of it.
He washed it away, made atonement for it. It was through His blood that He brought us back to God. So is there anything in my behavior that now exclude? Listen. Is there anything in our behavior now that excludes us from God? No, because that sin has been forgiven. Well, what about our race? Can it exclude us?
We've been adopted.
He said, nah, I've had enough of those. I got enough of these Jewish folks. I need some of these weird people. A special people, that's what I should have said. A special people. He started choosing you, adopting you, because we were so much better than everybody else. In fact, do you remember when we studied 1 Corinthians and who did he choose? The lowly. He looked at us and said, ain't nobody else going to love them but me, so I better take them. I'm all right with that, aren't you? Now, what did he do with the law that condemned the sin? What did he do with the law that made race the issue? Yeah, and I want all the words. I want all the words out of the text. I want you to hear it. I want you to mark them. What did he do? Destroyed the barrier. Underline it. He destroyed the barrier. What did he do? He abolished in his flesh the law. Anything else? That's what he says about the law. Now, I'll give you a little peek. If you've got a pen, mark in the margin of your Bible Colossians 2. Just write in the margin of your Bible, right there beside that verse, write Colossians 2. Same verse, just 14 through 16, both places. Ephesians 2, 14 through 16, and Colossians 2, 14 and 6 through 16 are talking about the same thing. So you just cross-reference there. You'll use it later. Okay, so what did he do? He abolished the law. And by abolishing the law, and in Colossians' words, he nailed it to the cross. What did he do with sin? He washed it clean. He atoned for sin. He abolished the law. And he... You haven't dealt with race yet. What did he do? Look at the text. Look at the text. He reconciled them and created a new person. We're not two anymore. We're not Jew and Gentile. We are one. We are God's. We're God's kids. We're Christians. We belong to Jesus. We are of the two. He made one. So he handled the race issue. He handled sin, he handled race, and he handled law. And what did he do with us? What did he do with us? He reconciled us. Keep going. Keep going. He gave extra donut right here. He brought us back to God. He reconciled us with each other. He made of the two one, and he made peace. And then what did he do? Verse 18. I'm going to make you say it again because nobody saw it except he made us, gave us access to the Father by one Spirit. So guess what we were allowed to do? If you want to use the illustration, can I come in here now? Do I got to be that race? No. Do I got to be that tribe? No. Do I got to be that family? No, because I am that family. I am that one. And I can walk into this room. What happened to this veil thing that kept us out of that room? What happened with that bread? What happened with those lights? What happened with that incense? What happened with that mercy seat? Jesus was all of those, and he said, I took care of you. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come on. Come here. And he gave us access. Folks, is that not a good word? He gave us access. Were you ever kept out of something because you had a prison record? Were you ever kept out of something because you had an addiction? Were you ever kept out of something because you had a lack of education or a lack of money? Yeah, guess what? In Jesus we have... I won't circle it, folks. Don't forget it. 18. We have access to the Father. Do I need... And I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it out loud. Do I need some man? Do I need some priest? Do I need some pastor? Do I need some rabbi to take me into the presence of God? No, I have access. In spite of my lack of education, in spite of my lack of money, in spite of my lack of notoriety, I have access. Tattoos? Teeth? No teeth? No money? Lots of money? Good car? Car that causes you to talk funny on the weekends? Doesn't matter, does it? Because what do we have? Because of Jesus, what do we have? Say it again, just one more time for my ears. And I'd like everybody to say it so you don't forget this one. Access. You and I have access. Well, of course we do. We're His. He adopted us, right? I show up at the door and say, I'd like to get in here to the presence of God. And they said, let's check your ID. What's on my ID? Holy Spirit stamp, right? He's certified. So do I have to walk? Do I have to ask permission to come in? I have, you better say it, I have access. I have access into the very presence of God. In fact, don't you forget chapter 2. In fact, I'm right there right now. We hear it, and it's nothing wrong. It's just how we use our language. I used to hear a brother, he'd pray, Lord, now as we humble ourselves and we draw ourselves closer to your presence. Okay. If that's the way you want to say it, that's your deal. But guess what? I live there. I don't have to come there. I live there. I'm there whether I'm in this building or not. I'm in that whether I'm in that car that runs or the one that doesn't. I'm in that building where I've got money in my account or don't. I'm in there if I got teeth or no teeth. I'm in there if I got a house or no house. I'm in there if I'm warm and happy and fat and sassy or I'm skinny and hungry and cold. I've got access to the Father and I live in His presence. Now, what does that sound like to you? Hope. What does that sound like to you? I want your answer. What does that sound like to you?
Abundant life.
That's good stuff. Well, tell me what it sounds like to you. Your answer.
I'm loved.
How does it make you feel? What privilege? How does it sound to you?
Safe.
How's it sound to you?
It's like a breath of fresh air. You don't have to compete or meet everybody's standards.
Oh, Michael's saying it, isn't he? Mm-hmm. I don't have to be better than you. I don't have to be smarter than you. I don't have to be richer. I don't have to be more successful. There is no competition. Because what do I have? In spite of what I did, y'all, in spite of all the mess I made of things, what do I have? I have access. Because that sin's been forgiven and the law that condemned me for what I did has been abolished. And any problems there was by birth, He created me a new man. I'm created in Him as one. Consequently, verse 19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. We are Spirit-living members of God's household. There are certain places in this town you've got to have a card to get into. I can't get into that country club because I'm not a member. Don't have a card. Guess what? I don't need a card. I am no longer a foreigner. I'm no longer an alien. I'm fellow citizen with God's people, member of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. So how long is this building going to stand? How long is this temple going to stand? Forever. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. You want a definition for church? That's it. It's not this building. It's this building. Did you hear me? It's not this building. It's this building. Carlito, come here. Put your Bible down. Come here. Bob, come here. Roger, come here. Bart, come here. Aaron, we need somebody tall and skinny. Come here. Oh, I'm sorry. I had Bart come for this tall and skinny one. Philip, come here. Owen, come here. We could have done this with everybody, but we don't have room, right? But what's God doing? From the text, what's God doing? I'm not making this stuff up. What's God doing?
Building
together. We got some... Oh, I need somebody else. It's got to be Leland. Come here, Leland. He gets somebody that's been in church since right after Pentecost, man. Since right after Pentecost. And then he gets somebody, and I don't know if y'all know. Y'all ain't even met Carlito, have you? Born into God's family Wednesday night. Man, his hair may still be wet. I'm telling you. He walked in here to find a warm place and a good meal and receive the free gift of God on Wednesday night. So what does he do? What does God do? Well, somebody's been in the church forever and somebody that just got here. So what? All right, come here. Come here, Leland. Right here. What does he do with somebody? What does he do with somebody who's lived a good moral life and just had all kinds of success and had married a good Christian woman, lived a good Christian life, raised some good Christian kids like Owen? Come here, Owen. He builds them together. What does he do with somebody who's had a little bit of trouble in the past? And we won't talk about specifics, but we had a little bit of trouble in the past. But he handled his responsibility and he went back to work. Philip, step up a minute. What does he do? I'm waiting. What does he do? He builds them together. What does he do with somebody, maybe the hardest working guy I know, but didn't get started in Jesus early? Bob, step up there. What does he do with somebody who's had some struggles in life, financially, and some other ways? I don't have to go into detail. Roger, get up over here. Right over here. Bye, Bob. And what does he do? What does he do with a guy who became a Christian late in his life but is so fired up about being a Christian that when folks look at somebody who's a shepherd to this place, count him as a shepherd? Bart, step up here. And what does he do with somebody who came into grace later than a lot of us did, but man, there's been nobody more dedicated to walking with Jesus and serving Jesus. Aaron, get over there. And what does he do with a guy who was raised privileged beyond all privilege and then just messed it up, just ruined it? What did he do? He built us together as a temple. Here, get over here. I'm going to put my arm around you whether you like it or not. All right, put your arm around each other, guys. That's what Jesus is doing, y'all. He's building a holy temple in the Lord. How's that make you feel? I want in that church, don't you? I don't care where they meet. I don't care if they got donuts or not. I want to be a part of that church, don't you? We eat this bread and we drink this cup now. Let's do nothing. Let's do this. Just thank God for what He did, because He is building us into this temple, His temple. Thanks, guys.